seeker, your time has come. Gather your little scythe and discover your destiny. The kingdom of Palmae is the crown jewel of the seven animal kingdoms and coveted as the source of our crispy red apples and magic gems. There you will meet animals of all shapes and breeds living in harmony. When you arrive, look towards the foreboding castle Everfree. The elders say that long ago the sky's brightest star fell where the ancient castle now stands. The star dispersed across the land as gems imbuing every region with magic. From this power sprang our first apples, which have provided limitless nourishment for animals ever since. From this newly enchanted land rose Pome, the original animal kingdom. Eventually, its descendants spread and founded the seven animal kingdoms that now surround Pome. We will always revere Pome as our ancestral home. Each year, the seven kingdoms send two of their most promising young seeker siblings to participate in the harvest tournament. The first pair to earn four trophies will be crowned the new rulers of Pome. This has long been our way of sharing power over the sacred land. As descendants of a long line of seekers, you and your sibling can trace your lineage back to Pome itself. Your bloodline makes you capable of detecting Pome apples and gems from great distances. With you always is your scythe, a seeker's most important tool. Let it help you prove that you are worthy of overseeing Pome in behalf of our kingdom.
Hello there, kids of all ages, friends and rivals. Welcome to my podcast. We will be your hosts for the episode. My name is Joy. Across from me is my adventurous sister, Faith.
Hi.
And to my right is my amazing...
Aw. Hi there, Faith and Joy. I am so excited that both of you decided to come back to the kids' table. I am really looking forward to our game discussion tonight, and we will just have to see where things go.
Here at the Game Table Podcast, we review various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give our thoughts and opinions in hopes of showing you whether it's a good fit for you and your table.
Hello there, everyone. This is Jared, and I'm going to give you a brief overview of how to play this game. So the goal of the game is to be the first to earn four trophies. There are eight possible ways to earn trophies. You can earn eight friendship, make eight pies, take four gems to the castle. You could take four apples to the castle. You could win a pie fight. You could complete two quests. Gain three magical spell cards, or lastly, you can gain two power-up cards. You can earn any of these four trophies, but you're going to have to earn at least four of them, and they all have to be unique. You can't earn the same trophy, or you can't earn the same category twice. To begin the game, both of your characters are placed on your home base. There are a variety of characters in this game. We've got bears and tigers and birds and walrus. Not a walrus. I don't know what you call that thing. It looks pretty cool, though. Oh, it's like a warthog. That's what it is. And a goat. Lots of different options here. So definitely lots of variety as you play the game. To begin the game, like I said, you put both of your characters on your home base. That space is determined for you based on the number of players. So you just check out the setup and you'll be able to find that out. There will also be some resources and quest tokens already on the main board in front of you. You will also have your own smaller board to hold your four trophies, as well as a pawn that you will use to mark which action you took on any given turn, or at least on the previous turn. On your turn, you can either move, seek, or make. Move only has one option, seek has two different options, and the make action has three different options for you. On your first turn, you'll have access to any action that you want, but on future turns, you can't take the same action that you took on your previous turn. For a basic move action, you can move one character up to two spaces, or you can move two characters one space. If a character moves, they have the option of taking the resources on the space they're moving from with them. Resources are never held in your hand or on your board or anything like that. Instead, they are always kept on the board until they are spent. If your character is on a space that has resources, you currently control those resources. The seek action is how players get more resources on the board, and it also gives the possibility to gain friendship. You will roll four dice. One will be a quest die, and then depending on which you choose, you will either roll two gem dice and one apple die, or two apple dice and one gem die. When the dice are rolled, the color that lands on top determines which region those new resources will go into. The active player gets to decide where these resources are added within the regions. If you place a resource on the same space as one of your opponent's characters, you gain a friendship. The basic make action allows you to do one of three things. You can either make two pies, make a spell card, or make a power-up card. Each of these choices require resources, so you're going to have to go around the board and collect your resources before you can do a variety of different things. The power-up cards improve either your move action or your make action. It might add a different ability or improve the way that you go about doing those things. And pies can be used either to gain pies towards that particular trophy that we talked about earlier, or you can use them in pie fights as well. Spell cards can also be used in pie fights. They're a secret way of adding more pies to your inventory that none of the other players know about, because the pie tracker is public at all times. Speaking of pie fights, as you move around the board, if you enter an opponent's space, you engage in a pie fight. Each player takes a dial to secretly determine the number of pies they're going to spend in this fight. They may also add one spell card to increase their pie total. Both players reveal at the same time. The one who has the higher pie count spent is the winner of the pie fight. They take control of that space on the board, along with any resources that were there, losing one friendship and gaining a trophy if they haven't won a previous pie fight. The loser of the pie fight sends that character back to their base. They do get to either gain two pies or one spell card for their trouble. And I will note here, if you lose too much friendship until you get your friendship built back up, you're not able to gain any trophies at all. If a character moves onto a quest token, the token is removed and the player draws a quest card. There will be three options on that card: a noble option, a sneaky, not so kind option, and a no thanks. The first two require that you either pay some kind of resources, do some sort of deed, or something of that nature that you'll have to be able to fulfill immediately. And if you do so, you complete the quest. If you can't or don't want to, though, you say no thanks, which is the third option. You get a small reward, and then you put the card back on the bottom of the deck. Without getting into all the nitty-gritty of the game, this is the basic procedure for how the game is played, as players take turns performing one action at a time. Resources are moved, quests are performed, fights are started. It's all good stuff. Once someone has played their last trophy, players play one more round, and then the game ends. Now that I've given you a brief overview of how to play, let's jump over to Faith and Joy to discuss the game a little bit. All right, girls. So we are in this world and we are trying to earn trophies to show that we are the best seekers in the land. Faith, can you tell me what is your favorite animal?
Horses, kittens, colts and puppies.
Nice. That's a cool group. Joy, what about you?
Well, I like bears because I'm a stuffed animal one. And I like cats because they're very nice. And because we cat sit and baby penguins.
Baby penguins.
I love those. Those are so cute.
They are really cute. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, girls, this game is all about animal siblings. So maybe brother and sister or two sisters, just like you, or two brothers.
Or three sisters.
That's true. And they are going throughout the land and they are trying to collect apples and gems and get in
quests.
And quests. That's right. That's very true. And Joy, your favorite part, they try to get in pie fights.
What? I like pie fights.
No. You do like pie fights. I was really impressed. And they're trying to collect these trophies before the commencement so that they can prove they're the best seekers in all the land. Now, I would like to ask you girls some questions about this game. How does that sound?
Good.
Sure.
So, Joy, in this game, we are trying to collect different trophies, and there is a lot of different ways to earn trophies, right? I think that your favorite way is through pie fights.
Yeah.
Why do you like getting into pie fights so much?
Because then if I have a lot of pies, then I win.
You like throwing lots of pies at people?
You know, it's not really nice to throw
pies. That's true.
And nice. If other people win, that's fine.
You just like the pie fights.
That's fine. I just like winning.
Do you have another way that you like to earn trophies? Another favorite way?
Castles.
You like going to the castle? Do you like collecting gems or do you like collecting apples more?
Both.
Both? Nice. Faith, what's your favorite way to collect or to earn trophies?
My two ways are, even though I haven't, like, ever done them, is, like, well, I have, quests.
You do quests all the time.
I did. I was thinking of that.
Yep, she loves to quest.
And, collecting resources.
You like collecting the gems and the apples?
Yeah.
You like moving around the board, don't you?
I like quests. Like moving around the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third one, my favoriteest one,
yeah,
is earning friendship.
Oh, that's a good one too. You were a big time quest stealer in this last game that we played. You were taking quests from everybody. Yeah, you stinker. Do you think that this was a hard game to learn?
Well, it was kind of hard.
Why is that?
It's like hard. It's like hard to learn how to earn the trophies. Like there's like some quest cards where there's like a good place and then a bad place, and then a no thanks.
You're talking about during your quests?
Yeah, because like it's hard to earn trophies because like. If you can only do like the bad, I mean, you're going to lose a friendship.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I do.
So, I mean, it's hard to earn trophies. That
do
was
you
the
feel
hard
like,
part of the game.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you are saying that one, there's lots of different ways to play the game. So there's lots to keep up with. And then there's a part of the game where you can be mean if you want to be. But it really doesn't feel good to do that.
Because then you lose some friendship and you can't earn that trophy.
Yeah.
And if you get like to 3, 2, and 1, you can earn trophies.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Joy, what about you, baby? I know you're a little bit young for what this game recommends. Did you feel like it was really hard for you to learn?
Yeah.
I remember when you first were looking at this game when we were teaching Faith. And you got kind of overwhelmed by all the different things going on. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know the game is a little bit older than where you are at right now from an age range perspective. But after we started teaching Faith, you did start to show some interest, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of drew you in to make you excited to play this game?
It looked like fun. It looked very fun because of the castle and gems and trophies. I really liked the art.
You did? Tell me why.
Because it looked very beautiful and like complicated to make.
It looks complicated to make? Very cool. You really like art, and so I know that you're always paying attention to that, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, Joy, I know that this game is a little above what your age range is, but do you feel like now that you've played it some, that you have a better understanding of how to play the game?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy playing it?
Yeah.
That's cool. Faith, do you feel like after several plays that you've understood the game a little bit better than you did when you first started?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are learning a lot as you play each time?
Yeah.
What are you learning?
That there's like ways to earn trophies, like shortcuts.
Ooh, shortcuts. You have ways of making trophies work together is what you're saying?
Yeah. Like be doing like, for, you know, like the two quest one where you have to like earn two quests to get a trophy. Well, you could be doing the castle one at the same time, but like you could be doing like the ones that have the resources, and then it would give you a resource, and you would be taking it to the castle. But you could also keep doing quests.
Nice, that's really smart, Faith. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Stuff like that.
Okay. Is there any part of the game, Faith, that you don't like?
No.
You like all of it?
But not the pie fights.
You don't like the pie fights. Mm-mm. Oh. But at the same time, there's 8 different ways to score trophies, and you only have to score 4 of them, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel like you can avoid some of the things that you don't like doing?
Yeah. Like, for example, I don't like doing pie fights.
Yeah.
I could avoid that and do like something else.
That's a good idea. So, Joy.
What?
Is there any part of the game that you don't like?
No.
You like all of it? Do you feel like when you come back to play again that you have the same strategy, or you're always trying something new?
I'm always trying something new.
That's great, baby. Well, I'm glad you've really enjoyed this game, both of you. Joy, I'm proud that you've stuck with it, even though it's a little bit bigger than what you are used to playing. And Faith, I think that you've done a great job of continuing to learn different strategies and try different ways of playing.
Thank you, Daddy.
Yes?
What? Do you think this game has a lot of attention?
Are you asking me if it keeps people's attention?
Yeah, like, it's like a really interesting game.
Yeah, I think it does. One of the things that I think I like the best about it is that the turns are really quick.
What do you mean?
You have to pick a new action each time that you go, and you move your pawn from one action spot to another. And there's only 5 or 6 different actions that you can choose from. And even within that, there's only 3 types of actions. So, and you've already eliminated one because you did that action last time. I think that part of what this game does is it keeps people's attention because turns can go so quickly. So, Faith, I have a question for you.
What?
What advice would you give kids who are looking to, or even parents that are looking to get their kiddos to take that next step in a more complicated board game?
What I would say is start with the basics.
Okay.
Make sure your child knows the rules.
Nice.
Just like have her answer some questions about the game.
Okay. Do you think that it's helpful if you know all the rules up front, or do you like to be taught the rules as we go so you don't have to keep up with everything at once?
I think that, like, for example, like a rule that you can only use the things and then go to the castle, it's a really important rule to learn when you have all 4 gems or all 4 apples.
So after they've collected 4 apples, then you would say, okay, now you can go to the castle and collect a trophy if you want to.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if you don't, you don't know, pretend that you don't know
sure.
that a rule is that you have to go on a portal to get to that castle.
Oh, you want to learn how to get to the castle.
Yeah, but that's after you have 4 gems or 4 apples.
Okay, so teaching as you go. That makes sense. All right, so teaching as you go, asking questions to make sure that they understand, and then anything else? Actually, Joy, do you have anything that you want to add to this? Any advice that you would give?
I would recommend, even if I'm afraid, aim to be brave.
All right, girls, we are going to go ahead and move into our scoring system now. And remember that we score based on thumbs up or thumbs down. So, Joy, you're going to go first. Do you score this game 2 thumbs up, 1 thumb up, a middle thumb, 1 thumb down, or 2 thumbs down?
I would take it 2 thumbs up.
2 thumbs up?
I would do 1 thumb up, 1 thumb sideways.
That's how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Interesting. Okay. All right, girls. Well, thank you so much for being with me here today on this podcast at the kids' table. I have really enjoyed having you, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up, okay?
Bye.
And bye-bye.
Hey, friends. I wanted to give a couple more of my thoughts for the game before I wrapped up. I will say that My Little Scythe has been quite the adventure to this point. So a good friend of mine, Christian Brummett, really loves the original game Scythe. That is a fully blown, complicated game that is very heavy, and for me and many others is quite intimidating to try and tackle from a strategy standpoint. Some of our friends like it. I'm not a huge fan of it, mostly because I don't want to invest the time to get good at it. But with My Little Scythe, I heard many good things about it. I was looking for games at the time, this game came out in 2017, that could challenge Faith and Joy, and eventually Hope too, when she gets a little bit older, to actual fully blown strategy board games. And this game does a great job of really doing both, adding strategy and decision making and different action choice and things of that nature, but also not overwhelming to the point that it's not playable for a child or they need significant help. Even for Joy, on this last gameplay that we did, you know, I would occasionally say, okay, Joy, do you want to do this or would you like to do that? But more often than not, she already knew what she wanted to do and she was able to do it and handle it. And I'm really impressed. So I would just say, you know, if you're interested in My Little Scythe, I would definitely say give it a go. I do think 5 is probably the absolute minimum that I would try. And it is very child dependent, obviously. You know, if you have someone who's 5 years old and they're just really able to jump right in, then obviously go for it. I don't know your child, you do, but Joy has needed a little bit of handholding at times. And like we said earlier, definitely something where it was very intimidating for her on the front end. I did also want to add, this is another Stonemaier Games publishing. And as you all know, at this point, I'm a massive Stonemaier fan. But I wanted to highlight the designer for this one. It's actually 2 of them, Hobie Chow and Vienna Chow. So Vienna was 6 years old in 2017 when this game was published, and she helped her father design this game. So her father was a big fan of Scythe, and she would hang out with him and watch him play, and she would always want to be able to play a game like it that her mom and her friends would also get into as well. So they're looking for ways to kind of simplify it. And I've actually posted in the episode description a link to that interview that she had from 2017. It's really interesting. And I remember when it came out, how big of a deal it was that the 6-year-old had a significant influence on making this really in-depth kids game. So I definitely would encourage that if you have the time, go over and check that out. But I just wanted to give a little bit of a highlight to them. Just wanted to say thank you for creating such a fun game for me and my kids that we can play together. The other thing that I will add, something that really stands out for this game, is that it does give players choice of doing things that are more noble, or they have the option of stealing from other players or doing what in a kid's, you know, frame of mind is quote unquote the bad thing to do. And they can choose to do that if they want to, but there's also the consequences on both sides. You know, doing the noble or good thing generally means that your reward is not as strong as it could be as if you had taken the more conflicting choice. But on the other side, if you create conflict, then you're going to lose friendship and potentially not able to earn trophies for a while. So there's definitely a nice give and take there that gives kids the opportunity to think about how they want to go about playing the game, and it definitely spills over into other parts of their lives. So I think that's a great addition for a kid's game that I don't see very often in the games that we have tried. And I've been really, it was interesting watching Faith in this past game kind of venture over to the other side and just kind of try it out and see what it's like to not be super nice all the time. And she could kind of tell at times, like, it kind of made her hesitate. But, you know, we had a lot of good conversation that came out of that, and we were able to kind of walk through that with her, and it was really great. But there is a lot of variety in this game, lots of different ways to play. I don't think the kids would ever get bored of this game unless you just played it all the time. But even then, it just adds so much variety to it. And I will say, too, definitely something where I know adults who say that they prefer this to Scythe. It's a much more casual game where you're still getting a nice strategy fill. So that's something to keep in mind as well, is that you could break this out at a game night with other adults while kids are doing something else. So it definitely has a lot of flexibility. So as we wrap up, I'll go ahead and give my grade as well. Definitely a game that I would give 2 thumbs up to. I, again, just really enjoy the complexity that it offers as a kid's game while also keeping it easy to kind of get into. It's very smooth as far as you do one action and then move on to the next player's turn. Then you pick something else, so you can't just sit there and try and do the same thing over and over and over again. It adds a nice variety of mechanics as well as opening the door for a conversation. The artwork is fantastic. The gameplay is a lot of fun. It doesn't stick around too long, and it's enjoyable by all. So definitely 2 thumbs up. I do hope that you're enjoying these kids episodes. It's something where Faith and Joy and I are kind of figuring it out as we go, and I'm looking forward to ways that we can continue to grow going into 2024. But for now, I just want to say thank you for sticking around and listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. As we've been saying for a while now, we do have a Discord. Would love it for anyone and everyone to go and join and jump in on the conversation. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on Instagram. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing the podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Ian and I take a look at Between Two Cities. Yes, another Stonemaier game. Lastly, I do just want to say before I sign off that I do apologize for the delay in this week's episode. It has been a goal of mine that we stay on schedule and that we don't miss any weeks. Fortunately, we're not missing any weeks, but we did get a day behind. There were some, it's not really audio issues, it was really more of just a me and the kids getting on the same page and being able to make it work. And like I said, hopefully as we continue to grow into 2024, that we can continue to grow in this area of our lives as well, because they are very excited about continuing to do more and they have a lot of fun with it, and I definitely do too. But with that said, in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.